2 Samuel chapter 6, we're going to read verse 1 through verse 11. The Bible says this: Again, David gathered together all the chosen men of Israel, 30,000. And David arose and went with all the people that were with him from Baal of Judah to bring up from thence the ark of God, whose name is called by the name of the Lord of hosts, that dwelleth between the cherubim. And they set the ark of God upon a new cart, and brought it out of the house of Abinadab, that was in Gibeah. And Uzzah and Ahon, the son of Abinadab, drove the new cart. And they brought it out of the house of Abinadab, which was at Gibeon, accompanying the ark of God. And Ahai went before the ark. And David and all the house of Israel played before the Lord on all manner of instrument made of fir wood, even on harp, and on psaltery, and timbrel, and cornet, and cymbal. And when they came to Nashon's threshing floor, Uzzah put forth his hand to the ark of God, and took hold of it, for the oxen shook it. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Uzzah, and God smote him there for his error. And there he died by the ark of God. And David was displeased because the Lord had made a breach upon Uzzah, and he called the name of the place Peruzzah to this day. And David was afraid of the Lord that day and said, How shall the ark of the Lord come to me? So David will not remove the ark of the Lord unto him into the city of David. But David carried it aside to the house of Obed-Edom the Gittite. And the ark of the Lord continued in the house of Obed-Edom the Gittite 3 months, and the Lord blessed Obed-Edom and all his household. So, this afternoon I want to talk about the ark of God, blessing or cursing. The ark of God, blessing or cursing. If you go back to the beginning of the tribe of Israel, after God get them out of Egypt, the idea of God, of the ark, was not a Jewish idea, was not the Jews. So this was God's idea to have the ark, which was the symbol of God's presence on the midst of his people. So the Jew didn't come up with this idea, but God, being a sovereign God, he decided he's going to leave, or he's going to move among his people. And we're going to see that this was something so powerful for a holy God to come down to his people and live with them, among them, and be there present day in and day out. But we're not going to go there. But if you go to 1 Samuel, you're going to see that the children of Israel somehow abused that. They kind of, if you can say, they spit on that God's idea. So keep in mind, this was not their idea. They were not begging God because they didn't even know that they wanted God. But God decided he's going to move among his people. What they did with that, they pretty much wasted that. And God was like, okay, you don't want my presence, I'm going to show you how life is without my presence. So they went there. If you go to 1 Samuel chapter 6, you're going to see that. But the children of Israel, they were getting a religious mode. They were like, okay, we can do things the way we want it, but we can just, you know, sprinkle God on whatever we want, and things are going to work right. And they're on the battlefield with the Philistines. And what they do, they were like, okay, let's go get the ark of God. And when the ark came, and the Bible tells us that there was a shout, a great shout between the people of Israel. Even the earth shook. But since they didn't want to go on God's terms, they were like, we'll do it our way, but anyhow, we can sprinkle God. God was like, you can't do that. Because my presence among you, it's so significant. It's not something mundane. It's something very special that you don't deserve, but I come and I bring you. And God said, you want to neglect that? Fine. And you read 1 Samuel 6, you're going to see that the children of Israel, they were defeated by the Philistines. And what's going to happen? The ark of God will be taken away by the uncircumcised people. And it went captive. Because God said that, I want to dwell among you. I want to be with you. I want to lead you. But the people of God, they start neglecting that. They're becoming so accustomed to that. They don't appreciate God's presence in the midst of them. And what they did, God was like, okay, you're going to go life without me and see how much you're going to like it. So the ark of God is gone to the Philistines. But God has a sense of irony. Because what's going to happen to the Philistines? They take the ark, but they couldn't handle it. They can't handle God because they are not God's people. And they didn't. God didn't go to them, but they captured. And what they did, they're moving from place to place. They took the ark, they put it in the temple of Dagon, their God, and God is kind of having a good time. What is he doing? He just, Dagon, they come the next morning. It's like God is like, okay, you want to play with holy things? Yo, this is my holy thing. You can't mess up with this. Because I'm a jealous God, and I will let you not be unpunished. And God messed up with the Philistines for so many years. They go like, okay, we can't handle it. I can't handle it. Brother Cheng, you want to take it? This is just the human nature. The unsaved mind cannot grasp it. How stubborn the Philistines were. Because they were getting sick. They were getting, they're going to get knocked down. But you know what they're doing? It's a hot potato. I can't handle it. Hey, Wes, you take it. And Wes can see what's happened to me. But they go like, yeah, I can handle it. I'm a man. And from city to city in the Philistine country, God messed them up. They get to the point where they go like, well, let's go to the preacher. Let's go to the priest. Preacher, what do you think we should do? Preacher said, you know what? This does not belong here. Send it back. Send it back where it belongs. That's where we're going to pick up. Send it back. So the Philistines at least, they grab the grass. After going from blow to blow, we don't deserve this. Let's send it back where it belongs. So they send the ark of God to the Israel. And from the time that the ark came back, David was not a king yet. But now we picked up here, you go to chapter 5, you're going to see that David now become the king. And he pretty much bring the country of Israel together. And he's now in Jerusalem. As we know, chapter 5, David is facing the Philistine. He goes to God. He's like, how should I handle it? Twice in chapter 5, David was not just a man doing things as it should be done or because it's, tradition. Two times the Philistine came in chapter 5. Two times. David went to God. He didn't rely on his past experience. Because the same enemy, the Philistine came the first time, he asked God, how should I handle it? God told him how to handle. He defeated them. But the Philistine wanted to give up. They came the second time. David went back to God. And God gave him the instruction. So now, where we're picking up in chapter 6, David is pretty much settled. All the tribes are under his control. He is now the king. And he's building now his kingdom. He's pretty much settled. And what he's going to do? He said, wow, now I'm settled. My kingdom, my throne is so secure now. There is nobody who's challenging me. He said, this is the man after God's heart. He said, wow, I got an idea. I got to bring God's. Because for all those years, God's people are living without God's presence in the midst of them. Because the ark is not there. It's the symbol of God's presence in the midst of them. So God, David goes back, chapter 6. And David goes like, okay, I'm going to try to bring the ark of God because I want to give it a permanent dwelling in my kingdom. I want God's presence to be visible, and I want God's presence to be manifest so that everybody in the kingdom can see that God is in the midst of us. What a noble idea for David. Beginning his kingdom, he said that I want God. And he was a man after God. But we're going to see that David is going to try, but he's going to fail. Even though he had good intention, but he's going to fail because he's trying to do things his own way. And keep in mind, God's ark of God is not a man's idea. It's God's idea, but somehow, I don't want to get ahead of myself. So, we picked up here in chapter 6, verse 1. David got an idea, and he's going to bring the ark to the people. And he decided, okay, what is the first thing we're going to do? He goes to the first thing, he said, okay, we're going to bring the ark. And he decided, wow, we're going to bring the ark, but it's going to be great. Because we're going to honor God. And he's going to attempt to do something great for God. He got a great idea. And he said, well, first thing, he's going to do it in God's honoring way. First thing we look at in verse 1, he said, he called. Let's go back to the Bible. Verse 1, he said, David gathered together all the chosen men of Israel, 30,000. So David is going to do, I'm going to do it in a fashion because I want to honor God. And he's going to gather 30,000 people to walk the ark of covenant, of the ark of God. He said, this is not a small thing, but I'm going to give God all the glory. I'm going to give God all that he deserves because it's like 30,000. He sent invite and everybody comes in to honor God's presence, to honor, to bring the ark of God with honor, with pageantry, with decorum, with awe. Because you read down there, you're going to see even David himself, he's going to be playing instrument because this is a big deal for David. But even though he got a good idea, he got a great idea, he got a great plan for that. And verse 2. We go to verse 2. It says that David arose and went with all the people that were with him from Baal of Judah to bring up from thence the ark of God, whose name is called by the name of the Lord of hosts that dwelleth between the cherubim. So verse 2 tells us that, wow, this is not a small thing. This is the ark of God. And in verse 2 we see that he's insisting that this God is called a God, the Lord of hosts, and he dwells among the cherubim. So that gives us the description of why this God deserves the best. Why God deserves all that we can do or we can give, the best that we can give him. Because he said that his name is the Lord of hosts who dwelleth between the cherubim. So that's really an awe. That's really something very, very descriptive of this God. So that's why David's not taking any chance. We go to verse 3. And the ark of God. And they set the ark of God upon a new cart. That's a problem. Because when God gave them the ark, he gave them the instruction how this should be handled. So God was not just leaving anything imprecise, but he gave them the instruction how they should be moving this from place to place and how. So you wonder, said David, a great man, but how? A great idea, great planning, but they made a mistake. He made an error with the people because God told them specifically that the ark cannot be moved any way you think, but they got to be moved by the priest. And the way that they have to do it, they got to carry it. They got to carry it on the shoulder. Because this is God's instruction to them. But you know, sometimes we get so comfortable. We come with creative ideas. We lose focus. We lose what is the main thing we're doing. What is the center? What is the purpose of us as a church? So when we lose focus, we can come up with great ideas that can amaze people. Look at what they're doing. They select new art. It's not any other thing. Because this is a new thing. Because they want to offer God. They got a good intention. So don't get it wrong. Because they got a good intention that God deserves the best. But on our turn, not on His turn. So sometimes we can get impressed with our own idea. And we forget what the instruction that God gave us in the book. About how things should be handled. So we got impressed with our own idea. And good intention. But God was very specific when He gave them the instruction that He told them that this should not be the way that this should be handled. So God tell them that when they wanted to move things, how they should be doing that. So we're talking now the failure that they're running into by coming with their own idea instead of going with God's idea the way that God intended them to do it. And if we go back to, we're going to see that God specifically tells them that this should be done by the priest and not by anybody. And here they are, starting great, starting well, but they blew it because they made a big mistake, and this mistake is going to be a miscarriage of what they intended to do, what David intended to do, and it's going to cost even people's life. And verse 3, it said that in the ark, they set the ark of God upon a new cart and brought it out of the house of Abinadab that was in Gibeah, and Huzzah and Ahio, the son of Abinadab, drove the cart. And they brought it out of the house of Abinadab, which was at Gibeah, accompanying the ark of God, and how our head went before the ark. And David and all the house of Israel played before the Lord on all manner of instruments, made of fir, even harp, and psaltery, and timbrel, and on cornet. And when they came to Nashon, threshing forth, Huzzah put forth his hand to the ark of God and took hold of it, for the oxen shook it. So God gave them the instruction. They didn't follow God's instruction, and God strike. And what's going to happen? David, who started with a great idea for God, with pageantry, inviting people, all kind of people, in that 30,000 people, you bet that there was nobility involved and there was also common people. So it's like everybody, this was a big feast, a big celebration for the art of God. We're bringing God in the midst of us because for so many years, God's people went without God's presence in the midst of them. And here they are. This, what started as a great celebration, now it's coming crashing down. A big blow to the whole process. Someone or Huzzah's dead, and you can imagine what's going to follow after that. Here's David who was celebrating, but now you're looking at a dead body in your celebration. So David was like, people, cut the music, stop, we can't proceed anymore, because the Bible tells us that now David is afraid. He started well. He was so joyful to do the work of God. But we get to the point where David is no longer happy, and he's pretty much calling time out. He said, time out. I can't handle this. And remember I said that we're talking about the ark of God, blessing or cursing. But when God started, when God invited himself in the midst of his people, he wanted to bless them. He wanted to be a blessing to his people. But now we get to a point where David was like, I can't stand. Oh, I don't have a chance to stand God's presence in the midst of us. Why? Because they change what God told them to do. So David put a stop in the process. He said, we can't do it anymore. And then he said, well, there's many reasons here we can see why David is look at himself. Maybe he feel like, you know, I'm not up to the task of carrying this thing anymore because I messed up and I cannot proceed with this undertaking. I can't because I don't deserve it and I blew it, and he's so scared to the point where he's like, I can't even take this into my place. It's got to go to somebody else. And the Bible tells us when we go down to verse 8, and David was displeased because the Lord had made a breach upon Uzzah, and he called the name of the place Peruzzah to this day. And David was afraid of the Lord that day and said, how shall the ark of the Lord come to me? So David will not remove the ark of the Lord unto him into the city of David, but carried aside into the house of Ben-Edom the Gittite, and the ark of the Lord continued in the house of Ben-Edom the Gittite 3 months, and the Lord blessed Ben-Edom and all his household. Wow, that's interesting. On one hand, we see David who started excited, but he get to a point where he said, no, I can't do it anymore. I can't do it anymore. So now when we look at this guy, Obed-Edom, we look at the history of the ark. The Philistine was a hot potato to them. They played with it. They got burned. They were like, okay, no, that's it. We can only go this far. Let's send it where it belongs. They send it back to God's people. And I don't think this guy Obed-Edom was foreigner to all that's happening with the ark of God. He knew it. But why? Is he out of his mind? Because David the king would not even take it. So why Obed-Edom would agree to take it to his house? Knowing the history that if you mess up with this, you're going to end up dead. The Philistines are dead. Most many of them dead and sick. And their God smashed. And we come back to Israel. We see Uzzah's dead. And David want no part with it. But why Obed-Edom would agree? To some, I'll be crazy. You call somebody this like crazy because like nobody wants it. The king. Who's prepare all this. He doesn't want any part of it anymore. David was like, no. This is not coming to me anymore. I don't know if you have an option or not. The Bible doesn't tell us. But if I know you're giving me a poison, well, even if you own me, at least I'm going to voice my opinion before I die. That this is ridiculous. You want to kill me. But we don't see any complaint. I don't know what's, no, he has an option to take it or not. But he took it. And to David, the ark of God became a curse. But we see that Obed-Edom, he took it. Option or no option, he ended with this hot potato. And we see what's happened at the end. So to David, ark of God was a sign of death, as a smell of death. But the Bible tells us to Obed-Edom, it says a sweet smelling of blessing. It's the same thing. It's the same God. Paul said, to those who perish, the gospel is what? Foolishness. And smell of what? Death. But to those who are saved, breath of life. So the same ark of God, who to so many people is a sign of death, of fear, of uncomfortable, but to obey Him, the Bible says that God, for 3 months, God blessed His house. So, when we're talking about the ark of God, it's the picture of this season when we talk about we're waiting, the Advent. What are we waiting for? So, God came to live with man. How did He do that? Through our Lord Jesus Christ. So, the ark of God, it's a symbol of God's presence among the Jewish people, Israel. But now, in the New Testament, this is a symbol, the ark, it's a symbol of our Lord Jesus living in the midst of His people, living in the midst of His church, and He's the one who's saying, Hebrews 13, let's go to Hebrews 13, Hebrews 13:5, the Bible says that, let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such thing as you have, for He have said, I will never leave thee, nor what forsake thee. So, the ark of God, it's the symbol of God's presence in the midst of His people. What we see in the New Testament, that's the symbol for Jesus Christ in the midst of His people. So, as God invited Himself among His people, we see that the same Lord Jesus Christ, who's the ark, is the picture of in the Old Testament. He is in the midst of His people. So, the Bible tells us the gospel to those who are perishing as the smell of death, but to those who are saved, it's at the smell of what? Of life. So, like Obed-Edom and David, the Philistine, it was a smell of death. It was a scary thing. But to Obed-Edom, the Bible says that God blessed. Because God didn't come to His people so He can make them uncomfortable. He came to His people so He can bless them. Moses argued with God. He said, God, I can't move. These people are so stubborn. Unless You come and live with us, then we can move. But Lord, I can't do this job. Most arguing with God, I said, we want You. I invite You, Lord. You come because these people, I'm going to fail. I can't. Unless You are in the midst of us, then we can walk. Then we can go to the promised land. But Lord, if You don't come, I'm going to fail because this is a hard job to carry these people, to lead the people of Israel. It's a hard job. I'm going to fail. Lord, unless You come, Lord, I'm not going to do this job. That's Moses inviting God to be in the midst of them. Because Moses knew that God's among them, it's a blessing, not a curse. Moses knew that God's among them, He can take God's people to the promised land. But without God, Moses was like, no, this is a failure. I can't do this job without You being with us, without You being among us. Moses went to school. We can say that Moses was qualified. The top school, you can say that he went to the Harvard of his day, because he was sent to the Pharaoh school, which was the top. But he knew. He was like, Lord, unless You come, I can't move with these people because they are stubborn. And I'm going to fail. We want You, Lord. I want You among Your people so we can walk to the promised land. David tried.
That's another message next time. We're going to see that he's going to get it right. But David tried. He failed. Even though he fell, we're going to see that in chapter verse 13. But for now, he failed. The ark, the presence of God, which is a sign of blessing, which scared God's enemy. When they bring the ark of God and they shout in acclamation, praising God, the enemy, the earth will shake, and the Philistine will go scary, running, because it was like, what's happening there? Was so loud. Because God comes in the midst of his people. And the enemy was what? Running away. Because the enemy was like, we have no chance. The Philistine knew that they had no chance of standing those people. So when God comes in the midst of his people, like we're celebrating now, the season of Advent, preceding Christmas, when we think of our Lord Jesus coming, Emmanuel, God with us, God among us, what a sign of blessing. But if we make the mistake like David, taking it casually, so it's not God, it's not the Jews' idea for God to come among them. It's God's idea to move among his people. So if we keep focused, knowing that it's him, and we go and we honor God, we celebrate God the way that he wants it, we are sure that we're going to walk to the promised land. Like Moses was calling God, he said, I can't take these people there unless you move in the midst of us. And if we understand that Emmanuel, God's with us, we have it even better than the Jew has it. Because the ark was taken, refuge, for years to the camp of the Philistines. And they lived their life without God's presence. But God can tell us, the Lord Jesus said, I will never leave you. What a promise we have. David blew it, but if you go on, you're going to see that he's going to catch up. He came back. And he did it right. So God's presence, Emmanuel, God's with us, is it a sign of blessing to you, or is it a sign of curse? But God intends to bless his people. But it's only when we try our own way, it's only when we confuse faith, we try to outsmart God with our creative idea, and we forget all that he told us how to do. Then we get into trouble. Then the presence of God becomes uncomfortable. But God wants to be among his people, and he wants to be a blessing